Banochti Nafela Forik. That means God bless you or blessings on St. Patrick's Day. So Banochti Nafela Forik. It's good to have you here. Thank you for coming out on a Saturday night. The city is closed tomorrow to traffic. It's very difficult to do church on a Sunday morning, which is why we moved it to tonight. We tried to have Facebook Live, but it kept crashing. Don't know, I think we still have Instagram, but there is no Facebook Live. So do you know what? You just have to come in. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Can I also say, before I begin, if you would like to be baptized, you may have seen the video earlier, we'll be playing it again later, you can leave your name and number here on the stage and we'll contact you with all the details, because next week we're doing the preparation study for it. Okay, Patrick's Pilot is the name of my title tonight. There should be a video there, guy, or a moving gif. So this is all about how Patrick, the guy we are celebrating this weekend, knew that God was his pilot. What's a pilot? You see, we've guys in the church who are airline pilots. But ever before, there was an airline pilot. There were ships pilots, boats pilots. And what they did is they got you through rough waters. They veered you away from the rocks so that you did not sink. And Patrick, St. Patrick, knew very well that God was his pilot. A pilot is different from someone giving you a direction. A pilot gets you there. Maybe a word we'd use is navigator. So I want to look at that and also look at it from the Bible as well. We know that Patrick had this prayer. He said, "May God's strength pilot us, his wisdom instruct us, his hand protect us, and his word direct us." Just like the New Testament. Back then, they knew that they had to travel by sea. You see, today we think Ireland is this little island surrounded by oceans and it's cut off. Excuse me. But actually, the sea was the highway in Bible times. In Patrick's time, the sea was how you got around. So there were no roads, so you sailed to different places. That's why all of Ireland's cities are all around the coast, because that's where people settled first, including here in Cork. So Patrick knew what it was to have a good pilot on a ship. Next to the captain, the pilot was really important. So this is the first thing Patrick says in this prayer. Just for those of you who are new to this, here's a brief reminder of the historical figure, Patrick. He came from Britain. He was taken as a slave to Ireland. While here, he came to faith. You can read it in all of his writings. He was born again. Would anyone say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So all this stuff about snakes is only folklore. The real guy was born again, was baptizing people just like we're going to do in a few weeks in the lakes and rivers and oceans around Ireland. He escaped as a slave from Ireland, but then God told him to return. And it's that period that I want to look at today. You may remember tonight this before, but this is from his own writings. He said, "One night I had a dream of the people of Ireland saying, 'Come walk with us again.' I knew then I must return." When he left Ireland, he went to Britain, and then he went to Gaul, or France as it's called now, for a little bit, but then God told him, "Come back." Were those wasted years? Did he get stuck in a mindset from when he left Ireland to when he came back? To a degree, if you read into it, he did. He used his time well, but actually, God always wanted him back here. But he got a bit stuck. We read the same with Abraham in the Bible, and we can read it in Genesis chapter 11, 12, again in 24, and we read that Abraham needed God to pilot him. You might know this scripture, Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your native country, your relatives and family, and go to the land that I will show you. About half our church left their native land and came here to Ireland. Hold that thought. Because Abraham had to leave to go somewhere. And as he did, God gave him a very clear direction. Leave your native country, leave your relatives, leave your family. He didn't say leave your wife, by the way. But he said leave your relatives and leave your family. Go to the land I will show you. And when we read on in Genesis 11, 31 to 32, we're told Abraham left Ur, that was his hometown, to go to the land of Canaan, that's Israel today, taking his father Terah with him. And when they reached the town of Haran, which was on the way, they settled there for years, until his father died. They settled there for years. Now, do you remember what we just read? How God said, leave your family? But he took his dad with him. Now, if you're Irish, here in Ireland we go, what a lovely boy. He brought his daddy with him. If you bring your daddy or your mammy with you, everyone in Ireland would go, oh, lovely boy. He showed respect to his mother and father. He didn't forget his father. The thing is, it was important for Abraham, remember now, he was a big hairy man. It was important for him to move on from his father, but he didn't. He brought him with him, and they ended up staying in this place for years. The thing is, his name is interesting. Terah means delay. He bought something from his family and it delayed him. I think some of us have bought stuff from our background and it's a delay in our soul so that God can't bring us where he wants us to go. And a bit like Patrick, who was lost on the way for a while, and definitely like Abraham, we can bring a mindset with us. I'm not able. We can bring a fear with us that delays us. We can bring a prejudice with us. Do you know, in decades of being a pastor here in Ireland, usually the prejudice I see is prejudice people have against themselves. We bring a prejudice against ourselves. I see it all the time, in all nationalities. Well, they're better than me. They're more important. They'll get it more. And so we bring a delay, and I've seen so many people, particularly Irish people, who will hesitate for God to use them because they've bought Terah with them. There's something from the background in their heads. And instead of allowing the pilot, who is Jesus Christ, to lead us through the waters, we get delayed. Here's a map. Now, let me see. Is this working here? How do I do this? Anyway, it doesn't matter. See over here. This is where he came from. Ur. Say Ur. Ur. It's really hard, isn't it, to pronounce? And he had to go all the ways up here, and they stopped here at Haran. Now, if you didn't know, Michael spoke about it recently as well. That's called the Fertile Crescent. They couldn't go straight across because there was no water. The thing is, when you leave Ur, which is modern day Iraq, and you get to Haran, which is Syria, it's an easy part of the journey because you don't have to cross the river Euphrates. So that's this big, huge line here. This is the river Euphrates. Now, there were no bridges back then. This is a wide river. This is a deep river. It's fast flowing. It's angry. You drown. Remember, there were old people. There were children. There were animals. There was luggage. It wasn't easy to cross this river. So Abraham brings his dad with him. That means delay. And you know what? It was just too much of a hassle. And so they settled halfway instead of growing across the river into where God had him. Just like Patrick, when he left Ireland, while he did some good, God's will was always for him to come back and to do a work here. That's why we need a pilot. When you look at the name Haran, that town, it literally means the barren halfway place. God forbid you or I get stuck in a barren halfway place. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
God doesn't want us stuck there. The pilot, remember the pilot would sit at the back of the ship or the boat. He would have his hand on the rudder. Let's say this is the rudder. And he would have his hand and he would be looking forward. But every little movement, every tiny movement would direct the ship through the fog, through the rocks, through the shallows, through the storm. The pilot was so important. The thing is, Abraham kind of lost contact with what God wanted for years. And I know a lot of Christians, and it happened to me, where we just lose the heartbeat of what God wants us to do. In effect, brothers and sisters, and this is what happened to Abraham, and this is what happened to Patrick, if you will, if you study into it, they got stuck halfway. We don't want anyone here to get stuck halfway. We can bring delay with us from something in the past. You know, when we read on, we're told in Genesis 12 that once his father was dead and buried, he left that place, Haran, and then he arrived in the land of Canaan with Sarah, his wife, and the Lord appeared and spoke to him there. So the evidence is that as soon as Abraham got back with the plot, got back to the place God wanted him, obeyed God, allowed the pilot to steer him through those waters, even though it was desert and land, once he got him to the place he wanted him, then God appeared. Then God spoke. Some people say, I haven't heard the voice of God in years. Are you where God wants you to be? Because if you are, he will speak to you. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice. Be where God wants you to be. But it's very comfortable here. I'll tell you something. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, the prophet said. Don't go for comfort, go for life. But it's a very wide river. The animals and the children, and we'll get wet and might lose a bit of furniture. Go to where God wants you to go. Hallelujah. That's what happened. So now Abraham is back on course. God is speaking. God is appearing. Who here? I think I'm speaking to the preaching to the choir. I think we're all in the same boat here. None of us are going to allow ourselves to get stuck. You wouldn't be out on a Saturday night here in a church like this if you didn't have this somewhere in your heart. Remember what Abraham said in chapter 24. Years later, he looked back at this part of his life and he said, it was the Lord who took me from my homeland. Can I submit to you, those of you who've come from other countries? You may think, I came to Ireland with work. I came to Ireland to find refuge. I came to Ireland to study. I came to Ireland because I fell in love. Can I suggest it was the Lord brought you here? I'm not saying we're extra special. We are, like, but I won't pretend it. God brings us. Man plans his way, but God directs your steps and my steps. You see, it was always God's plan. You might say, well, God, you know, I applied for that job, I applied for that university, I was able to get, yeah, that's okay. But it was God brought you here. It was the Lord who took you from your homeland. Now, just in case all the Irish are, those who were born here, are just kind of falling asleep and getting very comfortable, let's tackle the Irish thing, because I think we all have a delay. Let me introduce you. Some of you may not know, we were looking at this guy on our first Friday, 2 weeks ago, our Celtic celebration. This is Eamon de Valera. He was the father of the Irish state. He's the guy who was the main brains behind it. So, for example, the law that you have to live under, and me, would have been written by this guy, the 1937 Irish Constitution, otherwise known as Bunreacht na hÉireann. The entire legal system, everything that this country is about, really was birthed from this man. Very intelligent guy, very interesting guy. But I want to quote from his St. Patrick's Day 1943 speech to the people of Ireland, because this was his vision of how Ireland should be. And I want to quote this because I think it's important for those of us who were born here to realise we can get stuck in a warp as well. Here's a very short extract. The ideal Ireland we dream of is bright with cosy homesteads, the romping of sturdy children, the contest of athletic youths, and the laughter of comely maidens by the fireside. In 1943, Ireland had a very high child mortality rate. Sturdy children, cosy homesteads, it was more likely to be a damp tenement building. Athletic youths, so many of the young people in Ireland were riddled at the time with TB, or there was another name for it, I can't remember. Consumption, tuberculosis. If you go up to Grána Brothar on the north side of the city, you'll see a big medical facility. But that would have been built back then because there was fresh air up there to try and help people recover from tuberculosis. It was a plague. And the comely maidens were getting the emigrant ship to get out of the country to find work. His vision was quite false. Now, I'm sure the man meant well, but my grandparents bought into this, and my parents very much bought into it, and they believed this. So I grew up, my teachers were the same, with this vision of Ireland that really was not quite true. So a lot of us as Irish people actually still carry a bit of this with us. And we can get stuck in a romantic idea of Ireland that was never true. To quote the Irish poet W.B. Yeats, "Romantic Ireland's dead and gone." Who can finish it?
It's with O'Leary in the grave.
First prize to Paddy Fitzgerald. Romantic Ireland's dead and gone. This vision was never true. You see, churches and communities need vision. Nations need vision. This is a failed vision. It was never meant to be. So brothers and sisters, if you've come here from another country and you doubt yourself and you question yourself, maybe you're doing okay, but somewhere inside you you're going, well, I wonder, I still am from another country, or maybe I have a different skill colour, or I've got a different culture, and maybe, you know, I'm not Irish, I don't have their advantages. Whether we come from another country or we come from Ireland, we can get stuck. We need the pilot who is Jesus to carry us through to be the people God wants us to be. Amen. Look at this guy, Eamon de Valera. He was extremely Catholic. If you were there on First Friday a few weeks ago, we saw how the Catholic Church was the royalty in Ireland. We saw everyone kneeling down and kissing the Archbishop's ring. And Eamon de Valera worked hand in hand with this. However, at the time, if you were born illegitimate, outside of marriage, you had no legal rights. What people didn't know and what he tried to hide was that he was born illegitimate. His father was either from Spain or Cuba, they're not quite sure. There is no record of any marriage, people have searched forever. His mother was from Ireland, he was born in the USA, and he was in an orphanage for a while, and he grew up in County Limerick. Now, this is no fault on that man. The problem is, he was pushing an agenda that actually had nothing to do with him. It was all the Irish people, but he was half Cuban or Spanish. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but that's not what he was promoting. And if you look through so many famous people in Ireland, you'll see that vision of Ireland was never really true. For example, Padraig Pearse, who the founder and the leader of the Irish Revolution in 1916, his father was English. Now, he hated England. It was crazy. But his father was English. What kind of psychology was going on there? How about, let's come home to Cork. Probably the most famous Lord Mayor in Cork in many decades was this man, Gerald Goldberg. He was the Lord Mayor in 1978. His parents came from Lithuania as Jewish refugees. He grew up over the road here in a ghetto called Jewtown. Now, it wasn't imposed on them, they choose to, but he grew out of that. He became a successful lawyer in the city and achieved the highest rank in this city. Can I suggest to you, if you've come from Nigeria or Brazil or the Philippines or South Africa or wherever, your son and daughter could be Lord Mayor of this city?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Or are you stuck in halfway place where you don't quite think that's true? Can I say, yes, you can.
Amen.
Yes, they can. Let's go into the music industry. This is a famous guy. It's a few years ago now, but Fiddlin' at Tin Lizzie, he was one of the most famous Irish musicians in the 70s, 80s. His father was from Guyana. His mother was from Ireland. He was born in England. He grew up in Dublin. Why am I saying these things? I'm trying to show that this Irish romantic thing was never really true. Some people say, well, we're Celts. Yeah, the Celts, and then we had Vikings here, and then we had Normans here, and then we had English here, and Welsh, and Flemish, and so we're all a mixture. Everyone is a mixture. There is only one race in God's eyes, and that's called the human race. Would anyone else say amen?
Amen.
What about the world of sport? One of the most famous hurlers, the big Irish game, Cork game, Sean O'Gohalpin. His father was from Ireland, his mother was from Fiji. That's way beyond Australia. He was born in Fiji, grew up in Cork, became, only about 10, 12 years ago, something like that, was quite famous here representing Cork. And actually his dad wasn't even from Cork, he was from Tyrone. Anyway. But here these guys, they were fluent in Irish, and he's Fijian in it, to all intents and purposes. This pure thing was never a thing. We can see it again and again. Look at the world of acting, or theatre, or movies. Here's a famous Irish actress, Ruth Negga. Her father was from Ethiopia, her mother was from Ireland. She was born in Ethiopia, and she grew up in Limerick. Can I encourage you, if you come from another country, if you have children here, or even just for yourself, praise God for Franklin and your promotion, Franklin. God bless you, boy. May there be many more. You know what, though? We can do it because God is on our side. We are church. We are community. We are Ireland. You are Ireland. If you've come here and you've settled here, you are Ireland. And whether we've got our heads back somewhere because we're still thinking back of where we come from and that'll stand against us, no, it will not. Look at our current Prime Minister, our Taoiseach. Varadkar, that's not an Irish name. His dad came from India. Who'll say hallelujah? But his mother was from Dungarvan. That's okay. So I could keep going with all these people who have achieved highest office, highest status in Ireland. And if you want, you could go, ah, but. But they didn't allow that. How much more the people of God? How much more the people of God? Your sons and daughters, you yourself, you can achieve anything, honestly, that God wants for you. But the big thing is, don't get stuck in a halfway place. Let's remind us of the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, for the Jews, it said the same law is to be for the native born and the foreigner. Exodus 12:49. What did Jesus say in Matthew 25:35? Jesus said, I was a foreigner, I was a stranger, yet you took me in. That's why it is so important for us as a church to welcome everyone.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, if you don't welcome them, you're not welcoming me. You are welcome here. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
If we don't care what the color of your skin is, what kind of background you come from, if you love Jesus, you have a home here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's remind ourselves, because the clock is against me. You know this verse, perhaps, Acts 17:26. For God has determined both the times and the exact places where people should live. you were meant to be living here for such a time as this. Esther, who faced terrible trouble and was panicking, and what did her uncle Mordecai say to her? Perhaps God has brought you here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, whether we're Irish and we're thinking of something way back that never really was meant to be, or we've come from another country and we're doubting ourselves, if any of us have a prejudice against ourselves, I promise you this, your children will pick that up from you. You may never say it, but they'll smell it off you. They'll pick up the non-verbals. So you know what we want to do tonight? We want to pray confidence, godly confidence, into everyone who's come from another country and everyone who is Irish. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
We want to know that the pilot that Patrick spoke of, that Abraham discovered, will pilot you and I and pilot our children and our children's children to be the people God wanted them to be. Could the band come up? So brothers and sisters, don't get stuck halfway. Let's all realize God has something greater for us. And on this, our national holiday, St. Patrick, who brought Christianity to Ireland, let's realize the God of Patrick is the God we worship. It's the same God. There would be no Bibles in the world if it wasn't for 200 years when the only written copies were here on this island. We've got a great heritage. And we are the generation that God is going to do something great with. He's already begun and he's not finished yet. Can we stand? Hallelujah. We're going to sing that beautiful song all about the blessing, because we want it to be for our children and our children's children. And you may say, I don't have children. You know, every Christian has spiritual children if you really follow God. Let's sing it and then we pray. Michael.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening,
amen. Can I invite you, if you want, to come to the top? We're going to pray that you will never get stuck in a mindset that will hinder you, but you will feel the wind of the Spirit in your sails. And we want to pray for you and your children and your children's children, even if they're not born yet. Can you come up, represent your country? Nigeria, Philippines, Brazil, South Africa, Germany, Ireland, England, Latvia, Hungary, hallelujah, India. Let's sing it again as people are coming up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
and your children, and their children, and their children. His presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing. He is for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we lift our hands to the one who was and is and is to come? I praise you, God, for all the countries represented here. I see South Africa and Bolivia and Brazil and South Korea. I see Malta. I see Uganda. I see the Philippines. I see Zimbabwe. I see South Africa. I see so many countries. And I see loads of Ireland as well. We pray now, Jesus, that we would not get stuck halfway. But everyone who comes from another country would fully embrace the opportunities they have here. And I pray now a deep and a powerful confidence would come into your soul and would pilot you forward to be the people God wants you to be. And I pray that the Irish here, that nobody would look back to a failed vision, but that we would embrace the new Ireland full of opportunity with our brothers and sisters with us from all over the world. Together, we are church, we are community, we are Ireland, and we love you, Jesus. So bless us. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to pray now for those who have children or who hope to have children, and those who have grandchildren or hope to have grandchildren. I assume that's a lot of us. If it is you, would you lift up your hands? I pray for your children, those here now and those who are yet to be born. Jesus knows their names. I pray for your children's children, those here now and those yet to be born. And I pray God's favor upon our children and our children's children. And I pray, oh God, they would achieve all that they can. But most importantly, I pray they would follow Jesus. I pray they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray tonight, on this our national holiday, on this night that we celebrate Christianity coming to Ireland, may the generations follow Jesus in our family. And those who prayed the prayer said, amen.